A lot of y'all have asked about our trip to Richmond last week, and thank you again, Daryl, for preaching. Thank you, Belinda, for helping lead worship. Thank you all for being here. And I heard you had a good time at the birthday party, and I'm sorry I missed it. But I will tell you that we had a wonderful, wonderful trip. Like I said in my email yesterday, family visits, you just don't always know what you're going to get, right? I mean, sometimes they're better than others, just depending on a lot of things. But this trip, it really was. It was at the very top of my list of good trips. The weather was perfect, for one thing. It was really nice. If you remember, it was sort of overcast, and there were kind of stormy-looking clouds, but there was sun shining through, and it was warm, and there was no rain. Traffic was really light. We always get off of 85 at Greenville, North Carolina, and then we go these back roads, and we find Danville, Virginia, and then we continue on into the county where Joey lives in Virginia. And at this time, after we got off, GPS took us on a new route. We can't decide if it was longer or shorter. It may have been a little bit shorter, but it was just one little country road after another, a lot of curves and things. But it was so beautiful because in Virginia, there are all these old farms that are still working farms. I mean, it's just amazing to me. The silos and the big red barns and the big white houses and the smokehouses and the storage bins and all those things, those are still there after generation after generation after generation. And I'm guessing it's because the wood that was used to build them initially was probably better wood than we use here in Georgia, because I don't see that very often in our state. But it was absolutely a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful drive there. And when we got to Joey's house, it was good, because April said, Joey told me I didn't have to clean the house up too much for you. And I like that, because it was just messy enough and just clean enough and neat enough. And they cooked for us, and I let them cook for us. It was really good, meatloaf and soup. And the last day we were there, Joey smoked ribs and fish and chicken in his smoker all day long, and it was so delicious, so good. Our granddaughter Sydney has just started college at Longwood College, which is about an hour from where they live there in Richmond, and so we got to drive over and see her room at the dorm and walk around the campus. We got to meet her new boyfriend who plays the ukulele. And then we took her out for supper, and we gave her money, all that stuff that you do with your granddaughter in college. And we got to be part of Austin, we call him Buster. Buster's routine every morning to catch the school bus is Daddy has to drive him to the end of the driveway, and he meets the bus, and then in the afternoon he meets him and they come back home. Joey's built a walking trail thing in his woods. They have 10 acres there, and it's all just wooded area, and so he's got this trail going, so we made 5 laps around the trail every day. It was just an awesome trip. I've told you enough about it now. I think the reason that I loved it was that I was just at peace. I was completely relaxed. For some reason, I knew who I was, and I knew who everybody else was. I was Mom. I was Marty, the grandma. It was family, and all was well. All was playing out exactly the way it was supposed to play out. We're blessed when that happens, aren't we? When things seem right, when our world makes sense to us, when there's food on the table and the people we love around us, and when there are books to read, and when the beauty of the earth is for our eyes, when there's a church for us to attend and be a part of. We are so fortunate. But you know what? I bet you even Nicodemus had those things. Diane read to us about him this morning. We know that he was a leader of the people of God, that he was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, the governing body of the Jews in Jesus' time. We know that he had power. We know that he had money. We don't doubt that he was smart to have gotten where he was. We have no doubt that he had a nice home with lots of servants. And even though we're not told this, we really have no reason to doubt that he didn't have a wife and children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and friends. And there is no reason in the world not to think that he didn't eat smoked calf and lamb and fish, and that maybe he played the ukulele for fun. There was no reason to believe that he was not a happy man, that he did not lead a good life. But still, he's missing something, right? Because still he comes to Jesus. And he doesn't come in the light of day where all his fellow Jewish leaders can see him, where all the people can see him, where his friends can see him. But he makes this time to come to Jesus in the darkness, so nobody will know that he has been there. So what is it that he's looking for? What is it that we are looking for? One of the nights we were at Joey's house, Alan, a high school friend of Joey's, dropped by. We hadn't seen him since many, many, many years ago when we left Virginia. And he and Joey didn't see each other for a lot of years. There was a reason for that. But just in the last 4 or 5 years, they've been playing together in a band, and so they have renewed their friendship. Now, just let me say this about Alan. I imagine that every one of you who has raised a teenager, every one of you who has been a teenager, will understand what I am about to say when I say that in his younger years, Joey Dow was not perfect. And as my memory has it, of 95% of those times when Joey Dow wasn't perfect, Alan was right there, being not perfect with him. And as every parent knows, it's never our kids' fault, right? Never, 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 never. So I sat there at the table and I looked at this now middle-aged man with the ponytail playing in the band, who on more than one occasion I wanted to do nothing more than just take him over my lap and spank him. I looked at him and all these memories started coming back at me, and this anger and this disappointment and this fear. But something happened. And I realized that one of the things that we most look for when we seek Jesus in the night is what I felt just then. It was awesome. I looked at him and all the negative feelings were gone. I didn't even think about them. They were not a part of the moment. I just let it all go. And I felt forgiveness. And I felt love. And I felt the presence of this wonderful grace that says, watch out. You better be careful the way you see one another, because you want people to see you the way God sees you, so you need to see others the way God sees them too. I guess that makes it go without saying that I have not been perfect a time or two in my life as well. So Nicodemus, who lives in a legalistic world, a world where perfection really is pretty much expected, has evidently been paying attention to Jesus. Since Jesus has been in Jerusalem, Nicodemus has been really following along and tried to get to know him. He has been watching him. He's been listening to what he's been saying and how he's been living and the deeds that Jesus has been performing, the healing of the sick and the shooing away of the evil spirits and the eating with the not-so-perfect sinners, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and the forgiving of everyone. And Nicodemus had just never seen anything like this before. It was just not a part of his normal daily routine, let me put it that way. He had never even thought of living in that way before. And what he began to see and figure out was that people who knew Jesus, people who followed Jesus, people who were open to Jesus, they just weren't the same. Somehow they were more alive. Somehow there was something about them. There was something new. There was something more hopeful. There was something much more peaceful. And Nicodemus said, it must be from God. It would have to be from God. And even though he doesn't say it, it's evident that Nicodemus wants to know more. So that's why he made that appointment with Jesus that night. And Jesus really gave him a lot to think about, didn't he? Yes, Nicodemus, Jesus said, it is of God. I am of God. I've been trying to tell you that from the very beginning, but you just have not been able to listen. And if you ever want to catch a glimpse of what God is doing in his kingdom on the earth and of what God wants to do in your very life, then you gotta become a new person. You gotta change your ways, you know, like the song used to say. You gotta be born again. You have to sort of rise above gravity and let go of what was and grab a hold of what God has in store for you, and you never know what it's gonna be. Now, one thing that we do know about Nicodemus is he must have been a fairly literal kind of guy, a practical, logical guy. Because the first thing he thinks about, and he just can't get it out of his head, is that born again thing and how would somebody actually go about doing that, And so he decides it's just impossible. And Jesus kind of laughs with him a little bit. He chuckles and he says, you just don't get it, do you? You just don't get it. To become someone new, to be born again, says Jesus, to grow, to live in the fullness of God, that's not something that you can do. You can't make that happen. It's something that God does to you. You just have to be ready. Now, I know y'all have heard this many times before, but our John Wesley understood that concept exactly. And if you remember, he kept reminding his church, his congregation, the people who followed him, he kept reminding them about what he called means of grace. And he said that the way that we prepare ourselves for whatever it is that Holy Spirit is going to do, however it is that God is going to birth us anew day by day by day, we have means of providing this place for that to happen. And the way we do that is to read our Bibles, right? Read your Bible every day. No matter what you read, just open it up and read it. Pray every day. You can pray when you're driving down the highway. You can pray in little popcorn prayers. You don't have to do formal prayers, but just talk to God. Study. Come to Sunday school. Fast. Observe Lent. Take communion. Just be in the fellowship of other Christians. Work at the food pantry. Volunteer. All those things allow us to be open and ready for the Spirit when the Spirit calls. And in that call, in that birth from above, which by the way is a daily experience, it means that we come into the world each morning filling our lungs with so much more than air. But we fill our very being with Spirit. And each time we leave the darkness and are born again into the light, we come back with just a little bit more love. It's that simple. But if you think about it, that's what it is that makes all the difference. We are a work in progress. And we are progressing in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So I listened as Joey and Alan talked around the table that night. And what I heard them talk about was different from what I know they kind of whispered about when they were teenagers. Sure, they whispered about girls and fast cars and six packs of beer and who knows what else. But now, even though I know they didn't realize it, these two were beginning to speak like men, and in their, hey man, how's it going, kind of voices, they spoke of invisible things. Whether they realized it or not, they talked of things like love and hope and transformation and possibility. They spoke about their lives. And what they wanted. They spoke about their children, what they wanted for their children. They spoke about their dreams. They spoke about the community and the world in which they lived. They spoke in the language of grace. It was beautiful to my ears. And what I prayed as I listened to them, these newly born voices, that they really got it. They've got so much against them in the world today, you know? And there's so much that can pull them away, but I pray that they understood that a successful nose to the grindstone, take care of your own, don't rock the boat kind of life is not a bad life. But it's just a shallow life. It's a life lived in the dimness of night, rather than in the light of possibilities that God has in store for us in his kingdom. See, y'all, we're going to come to this table this morning. And I ask that we just remember this. This feast is for us, that Christ is here in our presence, providing with us as close as our very heartbeat. May we remember that a faith that thrives in the darkness is too small. It's too immature. It's too incomplete. But in the light, whoo, whoa, Nelly, you better watch out. You better put on your seatbelt. Because God wants to work in our lives. And when we are in the light, we are filled with amazing, frightening, alarming, challenging, warm, and comforting grace, the Spirit of God. And when we get up from here to leave, who knows where God is going to send us. But while we're here, I'd like to ask you to do something. I'd like to ask you to see not only one another as we do. We love one another in this church family. And to come to the table together is nothing but honor and nothing but joy. But even though they are not kneeling here, I invite you to see Joey and to see Alan and to see Nicodemus and to see your grandson or your great nephew or whoever it is that you know who is just on the cusp of that understanding what it means to live their lives in the light rather than in the darkness. And when we leave here, will you walk with them through the journey? And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.